In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, today we are celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany, even though the actual feast day is tomorrow. But we move it to Sunday because it is such an important feast in the life of the Church. It commemorates one of the major revelations of God to the world. The Feast of the Epiphany celebrates the manifestation of the boy Jesus to the nomadic wanderers from the East, sometime within the first 2 years of his life. And certainly it was prior to King Herod's murderous slaughter of the innocent boys of Bethlehem. The Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ is an important commemoration because it was the first time that Jesus was revealed to the wider world, meaning that the incarnation of God was not solely intended for those of the Jewish faith. God was for everyone, and so Jesus had to be introduced to the wider world in a way that was truly revelatory. The Magi, or the so-called wise men, were in fact the equivalent of today's astronomers. The name Magi is derived from an ancient Persian name for the religious caste of people called the Zoroastrians. As part of their religion, they paid particular attention to the stars in the heavens and had an international reputation for astrology, which at the time was considered to be a very advanced science. Zoroastrianism is one of the world's oldest continually practiced religions, which suggests that it had a deep founding in its understanding of the universe and the identification of strange new stars. There are many theories on the reason these people followed the new star, but it's likely that within their own religion, the sign of a new star was the sign of fulfillment of part of their own prophetic history. What's important for us to always remember is that God was at work in bringing these people from another country to be witnesses for the birth of Jesus, the new king, the king of the Jews. Now, King Herod, the Roman client king of Judea, was not a nice man. He was a despot, and he used the levers of power to suppress dissent, spy on his people, and generally control all aspects of their life. The Roman Senate had appointed him to be king of the Jews, enabling him to conquer the kingdom for Rome. When Herod heard that a baby had been born and given the same title of king of the Jews, someone who might ultimately challenge him for the throne and the kingdom, he became frightened and likely more paranoid because he'd been continually under threat for losing his kingdom. The tight control that he exercised over his kingdom meant that he knew that this caravan of Zoroastrian priests arrived in town from Persia, and he dutifully arranged secretly to meet them to find out when the star had appeared. Not wanting to reveal his true intentions, of course, he asked that these men seek out the new king and then report back to him and tell him where the king was so that he too could go and pay homage to them. The Magi dutifully followed the star to Bethlehem and eventually came to find Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And they recognized fulfillment of the prophecy and the majesty of the new boy king and offered him precious gifts fit for a king. Then before they left, and through a dream, God's favourite method of communication, they were warned not to go back to Herod, and so they left by a different way. Of course, this enraged Herod, who undertook the genocide of the young boys in Bethlehem as a result. But the Epiphany is all about the manifestation of the divinity of Jesus to those outside the Jewish religion. God revealed to these people the mystery of God's incarnation, and the Magi followed their own spiritual intuition and showed up to meet the baby Jesus, the new king. They had an intuitive understanding of the mystery that was inherent in the new star that appeared in the skies of their country. And I find two key takeaways from the story of the Epiphany. The first is that God chose to reveal the boy Jesus to the world outside of the Jewish faith. God's love for humankind through Jesus was for everyone. Second, the Magi showed up, having followed the sign God gave them. Hopefully we can relate to both of these actions of God, because this is how God works in our lives too. God prompts us through dreams and mysterious signs, and then reveals things to us that ultimately make sense to our lives and can change the direction in which we are living. The story of the Apostle Paul is a great example of this. The reading this morning from the letter to the Ephesians tells of the Apostle Paul showing up to the new Christian communities after receiving one of the biggest transformational prompts of God in the Bible. But why Paul? He was a ruthless zealot for his faith, persecuting the new followers of Jesus Christ. He was violent and unrelenting. He stood by as the crowds stoned to death the deacon Stephen. And Paul was probably as curious about God's intervention in his life through Jesus Christ as we might be. He had time to ponder Jesus' revelation as he sat in the darkness of blindness for those 3 days. But after his sight was restored, he went out into the desert of Arabia and then to Damascus. The desert stillness gave him the time to discern the commission that he had been given by Jesus. He was utterly transformed. Paul's message to the church in Ephesus was that Jesus Christ had been made manifest to him, and that the mystery of Jesus was now revealed to all nations. The mystery of Christ was the inclusion of the Gentile peoples in God's all-embracing love. In verse 6, we heard that the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. God needed someone like Paul, with his energy and focus, to be a leading witness to the Gentiles. And Paul showed up. Paul needed every bit of his character to sustain himself in his ministry. He told the Galatians that he served Christ with humility and tears, showing how hard he found his ministry to which he had been called. All these years later, Paul's testimony and witness is still guiding people to a deeper relationship with Jesus. Paul encouraged the fledgling churches to come together in unity and godly living, and to set an example for the rest of the community. The epiphany of Jesus to Paul is no less important than the epiphany of Jesus to the Magi, and the epiphany of Jesus to each one of us. Paul never met Jesus in person, but believed and discerned the mystery before him. And this is now our work to do. It is the church today, the church facing a new decade of life, that is to show up for Jesus and reveal Jesus the Christ to the world. The world continues to transform itself in many wonderful, yet also many troubling ways. But the message of hope and love and acceptance that Jesus brought into the world will never diminish. God chose to reveal Jesus to the world through his people, powered on by the Holy Spirit. God's love was for all and not just one specific group. And God continues to reveal Jesus to us in ways that are not always straightforward. Like the parables Jesus spoke, God's revelations require us to reflect deeply on them to find the true answer. Most often, the true revelation is not what is obvious. With the dawn of this year, our efforts to define the way God is revealing God's self to us here in this community will evolve. We will be patient, prayerful, determined, and wise in listening to the commission God is giving to us as a church community and to each of us individually. We each have a contribution to make, whether it be telling us your own faith history in this church, or be it in discerning the way God is calling us to minister to our needs and the needs of this community going forward. We need prayer warriors. We need storytellers. We need visionaries. We need brave and courageous people to show up for Jesus, to marshal the resources that are necessary for this important Jubilee year ministry. Jesus has been revealed to each of you and this community over and over again. At our Christmas for Kids service on Christmas Eve, a number of us felt that God was revealing something about the community to us. We had 96 people come to that service, and all but a handful of them were not part of our worshipping congregations. Many of them, after the service, told me that they had been coming for a number of years and that they really enjoyed the service. A number made inquiries about what sort of outreach work we were doing because they felt that there was many volunteers, many people in the community that really wanted to volunteer, here and not travel to another neighbourhood to volunteer. There was a couple that wanted to have their kids come to Sunday school and others that were interested in joining the choir. Those of us that talked about it after the service were excited by the potential that this group of people offered. Even if they never become worshipping members of our church, coming here Sunday after Sunday, they still have a need to be connected, a desire to be close, a desire to serve, and we can be the conduit to help them in their life of faith and their life to Christ. But even from that service, which we didn't promote except for two signs on our fences, how many more people wait to come to hear what Jesus has for them? God is stirring the Holy Spirit for us. We are the wise people that are showing up to see God's revelation and to take it out into the world. We enter tomorrow the season of Epiphany, and with it the season where we start to form these initiatives. And we need you. God needs you, and our neighbourhood definitely needs all of us. Amen.